Hello mga kababayan! Ika-isang daan at 115 yugto na po tayo ngayon sa Usapang Pinoy, hatid sa inyo ng Georgia Asian Times. Ako po si Jane Rowland, ang inyong podcaster. Ang ating pong yugto ngayon ay katuloy po ng ating series na tribute sa ating mga OFWs, Overseas Filipino Workers. Karapat-dapat lamang po na bigyan sila ng pagpapahalaga, respeto at pagmamahal. Hindi lang dahil sila ang pinakamalaking contributor sa Philippine economy, kundi masyado pong malaki ang kanilang mga sakripisyo. OFW remittances are not just personal transfers of money. They are one of the key lifelines of the Philippine economy. According to the Banco Central ng Pilipinas, OFW sent a record high of $35.63 billion in cash remittances in 2025, equivalent to 8.9% of the country's GDP. This figure surpasses foreign direct investments and even hot money inflows by wide margins, establishing remittances as the cornerstone of the economy. Ang ating pong bisita ngayon ay si April Castaneras, who started as an OFW, faced numerous challenges, and now works as an employee of the Georgia Department of Public Health. April is a special projects manager with 5 years of experience working with the Division of Budget and Finance at the Georgia Department of Public Health. She oversees all aspects of both special and routine projects within the DPH budget and finance, including administrative, data management, budget, procurement, and purchase orders. April uses her positive attitude and tireless energy to encourage others to work hard and succeed. April is inspired daily by her husband and son. In her free time, April likes to take her son to the park and library, exercise, organize their home, gardening, listening to audiobooks, and actively serve the Lord through the Georgia Couples for Christ hold. Bago ko pa siya tawagin, I want to share with you a couple of important events in the Philippine Asian communities and Asian communities. The first one is the Filipino community of Metro Atlanta, will celebrate its 128th Independence Day and presents the Kalayaan Gala Night on Friday, June 12 at 6 p.m. at the Westin Atlanta Gwinnett at 6450 Sugarloaf Parkway. Number two, Kapit Bisig of Middle Georgia offers a day-long Independence Day celebration on Saturday, June 13, starting at 10 a.m. with a festival of food, music, and fun activities for the whole family, and culminates with a gala night starting at 6 p.m. to be held at Wellstone Center, 155 Maple Street, Warner Robins, Georgia, 31093. The Georgia Asian Times 25 Most Influential AAPI in Georgia Awards Gala Night will be held on Friday, July 10th at 6 p.m. at the Oriental Pearl Seafood Restaurant at 5399 New Peachtree Road, Chambly, Georgia, 30341. So I will be right back, Paul, to present our guest. Welcome back, mga kababayan. Ngayon po, please help me welcome our guest, April Castaneras, who will talk to us about her journey from OFW to a state government employee. Welcome, April. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Ms. Jane, for having me.
We are excited to hear from you, so let's go ahead and dive into our conversation. I provided them with your background, but could you let our listeners know what you do, who you are, and what you do?
Okay. Well, good morning, listeners. I'm April, and by day, I'm part of the budget and finance team at the Georgia Department of Public Health. But then I'm off the clock. I'm a mom to a busy preschooler and a dedicated wife and gardener. I'm a big believer in finding the balance between, you know, having a career, being active on your faith, and then creating, a home life. I'm happy to be on this podcast with Ms. Jane, and hope you are all doing well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What were your original and subsequent jobs as an OFW? When was that, and how did you get those jobs?
Okay, so My career path has been quite an adventure, actually. I started as an OFW, which, you know, taught me so much about adaptability and hard work. My first role was an executive assistant to the general manager, and that was in Qatar, way back in 2008 until 2014. So I landed the job through a referral of my best friend, who was already working for a company there. So I worked for this civil engineering company. So we did, you know, infrastructure and building residential and commercial buildings. So from there, I transitioned into an assistant to the contract manager. And that was from 2014 to 2019. So I was sent to their main office or headquarters in Bahrain. And yeah, I stayed there for 6 years before eventually moving to the US and finding my way to my current role in the state agency. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind, but yeah, I'm here and grateful.
That's great. But when you came to the US, did you come as an OFW or is that a different visa altogether?
Yes, it was a different visa. I resigned from my job in Bahrain, and because my husband is he was my first boyfriend, so we were like childhood sweethearts. Mm. So we rekindled, you know, rekindled our, you know, relationship, and eventually, you know, with me, Bahrain, and came here.
Okay, that's wonderful. What was the specific moment or catalyst that made you decide to become an OFW?
Okay, so I think this is very relatable, because I believe, you know, almost all OFWs have these dreams for their family, mm-hmm. you know, to have a better life in the Philippines. And that was my, you know, that moment, I knew I had to go, you know, abroad, because I wanted to help my parents, support, you know, mm-hmm. support them financially, and especially my siblings. I wanted them to finish their education, you know, to have a better life, achieve their dreams. So I realized that staying in the Philippines, it was the safe choice. I had a permanent job there. I was working for the Dept Ed as an elementary school teacher, but taking that leave was the only way to reach, you know, my goals. And yeah, I was able to help them out. I was able to help all my siblings finish their education. They're all professionals now. They're in the medical field. It wasn't just about the paycheck, I believe. It was, you know, also about the person I knew I could become if I challenged myself, you know, to go out of the comfort box, comfort zone, and, you know, yes. And to be able to be in that global, you know, setting.
Mm-hmm. So where were you from the Philippines?
I am from Legazpi City, Albay.
Oh, okay.
We're the famous Mayon.
Oh, wow. The yeah. land of the laing.
Laing, the coconut, yeah. The yeah. Bicol Express.
Right, Bicol Express. But while you were talking about, you know, your support for your family and your goals, mm-hmm. I can see myself, excuse me, I should say hear myself in you, because that's exactly the same thing that I did for the family. And I think that's a very cultural thing that, yes. You know, because basically the Philippines is a third world country. Majority of us are poor. So mm-hmm. the first child normally just kind of has this really big vision about, no, we are going to get out of this poverty and I'm going to help my siblings. So that was what I was thinking about when you were talking about what you did for your family. How many siblings did you have? Do you have?
So we're five. So okay. I have four siblings. Yeah. And okay. Yeah, I remember, because when we were having the discussion before, like, you know, you acted as, you know, the second mom mm-hmm. of your sibling.
Right.
So I was like that too.
Yeah.
So I just had that the drive that, you know, that, yeah, they inspired me mm-hmm. to okay to go there, even if it's, you know, an unfamiliar place and start over, but it paid off.
Yes, yes. I think it's the most gratifying thing, because mm-hmm. we have a similar stories. The most gratifying thing that I have done is to see them succeed, see the siblings yes. succeed. So
absolutely.
As an OFW, I know that being away from home and family was very difficult. Please let our listeners know how that felt and how you coped with it.
Yeah, so yes, being an OFW is it's a unique journey of, you know, it involves immense sacrifice, you know, and it's, you know, defined by a constant, you know, tug of war between the heart and the future. So every remittance you send and every balikbayan box, you know, mm-hmm. it's back, you know, it's a physical manifestation of love. So it is the I love you that doesn't need to be spoken, because it is lived every single day through hard work and sacrifice. So to the listeners, because I know the feeling of an OFW, but this one is for the families and mm-hmm. friends. If you know an OFW, or if you have a family that is an OFW, understand that their resilience is built on a foundation of longing. You know, they are the modern heroes who mm-hmm. trade their present comfort for their family's future security. So it is a path with, you know, of profound love, paved with, you know, quiet tears of being away from home, missing all those important milestones in life. So just be grateful to them, be very appreciative and loving to them. And yeah, that's all I can say.
That is so touching. I don't know if you are aware that we now have an OFW Georgia Foundation, where for the first time we are gathering them all together to be one group, so there's more support. And you will see that on the yeah. On the page, and we will get you more information about that. But there's a lot of them who came out of their hiding places because they don't normally join other groups, but this one is for them. So it's really exciting.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful, because we really need to support them, because their sacrifice is just unbelievable.
That brings us to my next question. As an OFW, we recognize your sacrifices, the challenges, and the loneliness. How did you cope with all that?
Okay, so while everyone's journey, of course, is different, I found strength through some strategies. First and foremost, I constantly remind myself of the purpose behind, you know, my decision to work overseas. I have to stay on that, you know, like thinking. I focus on the progress, like, you know, mm-hmm. celebrating small wins, such as, you know, if my siblings or my parents, you know, give me a positive update, you know, from home. So that kind of like helps me transform that sacrifice to a tangible achievement, like, okay, like, you know, all my sacrifices here are being paid off because, you know, they're succeeding. So that kind of, you know, gratification.
Yes.
And second, no one can survive the OFW life in total isolation. You have to find a community, because community is very essential for your emotional and even spiritual survival. So, like, in my case, I joined the Handmaids of the Lord. It's a Catholic, you know, renewal and support ministry for mature women, which is within the Couples for Christ community. So, and up to this day, I'm still an active member of HOLD here in Georgia.
That's wonderful.
So, so it's just, you know, having that circle of, you know, women or people who are in the same boat. You know, it creates a support system where you can, you know, have fellowship, you can be active, you can look out for one another, mm-hmm. especially when you're sick and, you know, you're alone, you don't right. have anybody, you don't have a family, the struggles, and during holidays, you have, you know, people who can, you know, celebrate with. And you know, and another thing is, you have to, you know, you during your free time, your downtime, you have to pick up at least a hobby or learn new things. You know, take online courses, explore the country where you're in. Ultimately, coping isn't just making the loneliness disappear entirely. It's about learning to carry it well, you know, living or moving forward with grace and a heart full of hope in this country where you're in.
Thank you so much for saying that. That is powerful. When you said that no OFW can survive the loneliness without a community, that's one of the reasons why we set up the OFW Foundation. Yeah. So that's, thank you so much for saying that. That's very important. So do you know how many many Filipino OFWs are there in Atlanta, and do you know them all, or do you stay in touch with them?
So I've been here in Georgia, specifically in Atlanta, for from 2021. Oh no, from 2020. And as far as I know, I the Filipino population here in Georgia, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And it all, you know, this reflects like the total Filipino residents, including, you know, the immigrants and then the OFWs. So
right.
I don't know them all, but since, you know, I've been active in the community as well. Mm-hmm. I have met a lot of, you know, Filipinos and their families. I have been invited and attended various, you know, Filipino gatherings as well. I mean, we have our presence here, so we just need to find each other.
Right, right. And don't worry, we will connect you definitely. So for my last question, knowing of your pain and sacrifices you went through as an OFW, what advice can you give the other Filipino OFWs, and what is your message to the community? I think you already answered part of this, but if you can add some more.
Yeah, so yeah, just prioritize, you know, your, like, why are you here? You know, not just the how much. So, you know, it is very easy to get caught up in the cycle of, you know, sending remittances, mm-hmm. and you forget the original dream, right?
Right.
So you have to set a clear timeline and a financial goal. Remember that you are working to build a life with your family back home, and not just, you know, a bank account mm-hmm. for them. And they have to invest in financial literacy, because being an OFW, it's a temporary season. They have to, you know, learn the difference between assets and obligations. So mm-hmm. instead of, you know, just buying the latest gadgets or filling balikbayan boxes with things that lose value, they have to look into investments or small businesses back home that can eventually sustain them when they, you know, when they go home for
back
good.
Home. Yes.
Yeah. And then they have to guard their mental health. You know, as I've said earlier, you have to have a support system in your host country. Find a community, whether through a church, a fellow Filipinos, a hobby group, whichever, because it is very important for your survival. And, you know, with this technology is a blessing, but use it intentionally. Beyond that, like, kumusta, or nakakain na ba kayo, you know, those, mm-hmm. let the connection be real. Share your struggles and your small joys with your family, because they have to know the reality of your life, and they have to understand that, you know, the value of what you are providing. So if you're not okay, you have to tell them that you're not okay, that you're struggling, or you're, you know, you have to be open and not just keep it inside, and you know, like, and telling them that everything's okay, which is not. So, and my message to the community is, you know, to the millions of Filipinos scattered across the globe, your worth is not measured solely by your money you send home. You are more than your remittance. You are a bridge between cultures and a testament to Filipino excellence, and a person with your own needs and dreams. Do not lose yourself in the process of serving others. And there's no shame in feeling tired or admitting that it is hard. Be kind to yourself. Take your rest days explore the cities you're in. You have sacrificed present for your family's future, but also don't forget to live a little bit of that life for yourself today. So, mabuhay po kayong lahat, and ang inyong sipag at syaga ay is inspirasyon sa lahat ng Pilipino. I am being emotional because, you know, I feel the sacrifices of these OFWs. So, may God bless them and protect them all the time. That's it. And thank you so much. Maraming salamat po.
Thank you so much, April. That was very, very powerful. I want to thank you for spending time with us this morning and sharing with us this personal and difficult topic. Know that your willingness to talk about it will help and inspire thousands of OFWs, not only in this country, but all over the world. You are very much appreciated. Salamat.
Thank you, Ms. Jane. Thank you for this opportunity. And thank you yet for establishing the Georgia Foundation Group for OFW here in Atlanta. And that will be a very successful organization. I believe it from my heart.
Thank you so much, and I hope to see you soon.
Hope to see you soon. Thank you so much.
Ngayon po mga kababayan, bago ako magpaalam, I would like to share with you this Pinoy Pride moments, and these items went viral. The first one, Noel Catis Omamalin is the Filipino pastry chef behind the viral Dubai chocolate bar, specifically the famous Can't Get Enough of It, but enough is spelled K-N-A-F-E-N-E-H. Nafe, cannot get Nafe of it, creation. Based in Dubai for 16 years, he developed this pistachio kunafa-filled chocolate, collaborating with Fix Dessert Chocolatier in 2021. He has since launched his own brand, The Snap, and the Manila Chocolate with Ube. The second one, sinigang, a Filipino traditional dish, which this sour and savory soup was ranked the best soup in the world by the Taste Atlas Awards in 2021. Known for its tamarind-based broth, it is often considered the best soup due to its comforting, acidic, and complex flavors, traditionally featuring meats like pork or shrimp and various vegetables. Yun lang po for today. Salamat po sa inyong pakikinig sa Usapang Pinoy at sana po ay lagi kayong makinig at makibahagi sa ating usapan. Abangan po ang mga susunod na kabanata. Maraming salamat po. Until next time, goodbye for now.